is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time to choose sides has come. We are the Resistance. We are the InfoWar.
Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Monday, October 6, 2014. About 2 weeks after we were warned on the Alex Jones Show by former CIA insider Robert David Steele warned us on the Alex Jones Show that a staged Ebola false flag attack was on the horizon, 2 weeks before the first case was confirmed in the U.S. Steele, who is now an author and lecturer, previously worked for the CIA as a clandestine services case officer and also ran as a presidential candidate for the Reform Party in 2012. He said they'll have another false flag. In fact, the false flag I'm hearing about is a simulated Ebola attack in which they actually use biochemical weapons that dissipate but then pretend it's Ebola that's been brought here by Saudi martyrs. And, of course, he also warned of a false flag Ebola outbreak in the U.S. almost 2 weeks before the first case was confirmed in Dallas. Now, remember that this was right at the same time that Obama had just flown to the CDC in Atlanta, a very unusual move for the president. It was also a time that he took the opportunity to assure us that we were not going to see Ebola in the United States. And at the same time, we broke the information that the U.S. government had ordered 160,000 hazmat suits. Now, of course, they didn't put that out publicly. That was put out by a manufacturer who also tied it in to the rising pandemic. So it wasn't just a large order that the federal government was putting together. Now, we also had a caller on the show yesterday. It was emergency manager, and he basically said that the federal Ebola response is essentially a stand down. How do we know that it's a stand down? How do we know that they're trying to get it out? Well, as he pointed out, they're avoiding their own disease protocols. Of course, he's an emergency responder. He knows what they are. He said the violations of protocol are almost too numerous to mention. For one thing, the government officials are slow to decontaminate the apartment. And we're going to look at what has been happening there. And we're going to take a look at the person who is at the epicenter of this, a Texas judge who is up for re-election. But before we do, let's catch up with what's happening in the world as far as the Ebola outbreak and the people surrounding this man who is being treated in Dallas. Back in Liberia, CNN reports Ebola is killing all of his neighbors. They say that 9 people are already dead or dying there that were neighbors to this man before he came to America. They said, we've been through this over and over again. They said, we tell people no matter how much you love a person, it's the health authority that is responsible to pick up the sick people. And of course, they're talking about the fact that Thomas Eric Duncan transported a woman who was very sick. Now, both of her parents are now infected with Ebola. He is infected with Ebola, and the brother who helped him take them in the taxi is already dead. I don't know what's going on with the taxi driver. Unfortunately, he was also exposed. And that's the danger of this, that the government would downplay this, would be cavalier about it, that some people might have a tangential brush with the disease and not get the disease and therefore underestimate how easy it is to catch it. Certainly with any disease like a cold or a flu, you're not necessarily going to always get it or never get it. Sometimes several people can be in proximity, of course, as you well know, to someone. One person will get it, maybe 2 people get it, someone else does not get it. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't follow safety protocols, especially with a disease that is as dangerous as this is, with 70 to 90% of the people who contract it dying a horrible death. Now, we also have a report today that a second Ebola case has turned up in the Madrid hospital. That's not been confirmed, but we have had one confirmation that one of the nurses who was treating a Spanish priest there definitely has contracted it. And that, by the way, is the first case of Ebola being transmitted outside of Africa. Another interesting note here is that that Spanish priest who died was one of the 2 people treated with the ZMAP vaccine who subsequently died. So not only did ZMAP not cure the priest, but now the caretakers that were there, the medical workers, are now also coming down with Ebola, apparently. A CNN reporter returning from Liberia was horrified by the lack of Ebola screening at the airport. This is a story up on Infowars.com by Mikhail Thalen. She actually thought that we were being protected, kind of awakening like we see Chris Matthews going through. She said, I expected that they were going to take my temperature. Well, why wouldn't she? Because after all, it was just a few days ago that Press Secretary Josh Earnest told us that that's what they were doing. So, of course, they're looking out for interest. But she said, no, they didn't take her temperature. As a matter of fact, She told them, she said, I'm a journalist. I'm returning from Liberia. I was covering the Ebola pandemic. And the guy kind of hesitates and says, well, wait a minute. I think I saw an email about that. He goes off, talks to a couple of different people, and he comes back and he says, well, you know what? You need to watch yourself for signs of Ebola. And she said, well, what should I watch for? And he goes, well, I don't really know. Same thing happened to the two of her coworkers. They also admitted that they were covering the Ebola outbreak in Liberia. Nothing was done with them either. It underscores the fact that the government is not going to protect you. As a matter of fact, as we pointed out, we believe that the government is standing down. They're trying to encourage this. They're giving people misinformation, which is actually going to increase the danger of this becoming a pandemic. At the same time, we see another case, possibly in Miami, a teenager with Ebola-like symptoms has been quarantined in Miami. Look at the difference in the way the Miami medical system and government reacts versus the way they are in Dallas. They say, although a firm diagnosis takes 48 hours, medical experts say the probability of Ebola in this particular case is extremely low. However, authorities were taking no chances, unlike Dallas. They were taking no chances on Sunday, and they called in the hazmat team, reports the Miami Herald. A very different story, however, in Dallas. And if you want to understand who is at the epicenter of this response, or we should say this non-response, this cavalier attitude towards the disease, it's a judge, a pro-immigration judge, who really first came to light nationally earlier this summer when he said he was going to use schools in Dallas to house immigrant children. There was a lot of pushback against that, but of course he got a place at the table next to Barack Obama. Take a look at this picture of him right across the table from Barack Obama while Governor Perry is down at the end. Now that was earlier this summer when they were talking about immigration. And of course for him, it's all about compassion, except that he hasn't been very compassionate with the people who have been exposed, isolating them in that apartment without food, two different families in two different apartments, isolated or quarantined without food. And of course, he didn't provide it. It was provided by the Red Cross and other volunteer charities who then finally provided that. But the most dangerous thing that he has done has been to basically make a show of walking into the contaminated apartment without any protective clothing. While they were having difficulty getting hazmat teams to even show up on the scene to clean up the apartment. And of course, that's the other aspect of it, that the stand down, the violation of the medical protocols, the fact that they are days late in terms of doing anything. And then when they do it, they either do too little of it or they do it the wrong way. Remember the way they cleaned off the sidewalk days after he was taken to the hospital and vomited on the sidewalk. They showed up with pressure cleaners, guys in T-shirts, turning the contaminated sidewalk into an aerosol and allowing people to walk by there. That is typical of what we've seen, but he is being celebrated in the media. Look at the way the Washington Post puts it. No gloves, no masks. They might as well say, no problem. Dallas officials send a message of calm amid Ebola fears. They say there were hazmat trucks all around, cleaning crews that arrived to remove materials that might have been touched by Thomas Duncan, a Liberian man who's hospitalized in Texas with Ebola. The hazmat workers were covered from head to toe in bright yellow bodysuits, green gloves, and breathing masks. But then Judge Jenkins walks in his shirt sleeves. Now, this is the same guy who has ordered them into a quarantine, and yet he doesn't think it's any issue to walk into the apartment in just his shirt sleeves. See, that's the kind of amazing contradiction that we're seeing here. Just look at the difference between the way they treat the ambulance and the way they treat the apartment, for example. In the ambulance, the patient, while he was sick, took a very short trip to the hospital. In the apartment, he was sick for days. Now, in the ambulance, no one is allowed even close to it. They have quarantined the ambulance by order of Judge Jenkins. However, in the apartment, anyone is free to come and go. We see pictures of delivery boys delivering boxes of food, walking in and out, delivering the food that was given by private organizations. We see Judge Jenkins himself going in, along with Zachary Thompson, a Dallas Health Department official. We also see five cops ordered in. Look at the difference, the way they quarantine the ambulance, but they have people coming and going inside of the apartment. Then anyone who is in the ambulance is watched. Now, of course, they took a while to put that in effect. It's always a little bit too little, too late. But then in the case of the apartment, Judge Jenkins not only goes into the apartment, but then brags about it and goes to a press conference and says, I'm wearing the same shirt that I wore when I visited the apartment and when I transported the people and their belongings 45 minutes in my car. Then also we have a homeless man who Judge Jenkins put out an order that he should be stopped, that he should be examined, and they had a manhunt for him with the Dallas police force, not once but twice. After they looked at him and he was not sick, he left and they went to find him again and isolate him. Contrast that to the fact that Jenkins and Thompson are still at large in the community, even though they have been exposed for longer than the man who rode in the ambulance after this Ebola patient. He was the homeless man was the first person in the ambulance after they took Mr. Duncan to the hospital. They want to make sure that he's quarantined, and yet this judge who flaunts his contact with this is not isolated. Now, he said this. He said, I'm a married man with a little girl. I'm wearing the same shirt I was when I was in the car with that family. I was in the house next to those materials, meeting with them, listening with them, assuring them last night and again, of course, today. If there was any risk, I would not expose myself or my family to that risk. He says, there is no risk. That is a very dangerous message. I think he's putting a brave face, at best, he's putting a brave face on something that he knows very little about. If we had cured the Ebola outbreak, if we had even had it under control where it wasn't growing at an exponential rate, then you might believe that he knows something about the modes of transmission. When reporters from the New York Times went to Liberia earlier this summer and visited a hospital there, they were told not to touch the walls. You would die. And that was with hazmat suits on. We've seen reporters getting sick. We've seen hundreds of healthcare workers from the West get sick and die. This kind of cavalier attitude is not compassionate for anyone, and it does not allay fear, because once people realize that he doesn't know what he's talking about, once they realize they've been lied to, they will not believe him about anything. Now, he's being touted by Time Magazine as this judge who is fighting fear and Ebola in Dallas. They say he's the first local elected official in the world to oversee an emergency response. Well, actually, this article, which is something of a hagiography about him, essentially, he's running for office in a couple of weeks, and so that's what it's really about. He was not so much doing this in his capacity as a judge, but in the fact that he is director of Homeland and Emergency Preparedness. Yes, he's very much embedded not only with the Obama administration and their pro-immigration agenda, but he is also embedded with Homeland Security. And they also say, even in this article that is highly favorable to him and approving of the fact that he is ridiculously downplaying these risks, they say that they were getting the infected man, Eric Duncan's, potentially toxic belongings out of the apartment where he'd been staying and identifying and monitoring every person whom he may have come in contact with. Why is that important to do? Do you see the irony? Do you see the hypocrisy, the duality, the difference in the way they treat people at the apartment or the way they treat people in the ambulance? You see that they take days to do anything about it, and then they do things that are very dangerous. Now, at the current moment, the person, Mr. Duncan, who's being treated, the Liberian who is in hospital now, has been given a new experimental drug, a different drug than anybody else has been treated with. Now, the drug that he's being treated with, brincidofovir, is a drug that's being developed by a biopharmaceutical company, called Chimerix. I guess from the name, you can imagine that it's a GMO drug. This first came to light treating the adenovirus back in March. We had a Facebook campaign for a dying boy. His family wanted him to be treated with a drug. They had to resort to a Facebook campaign with 24,000 followers, eventually putting enough pressure on the FDA and on this drug company to get a set aside from the policies normally keeping him from trying an unproven drug. This is something that he developed, the adenovirus. He caught after he was being treated for a bone marrow transplant. He is also a cancer patient. But this, fortunately, this helped this young child to get this drug. But look at the difference between what an American child who's dying of cancer has to go through to get treatment versus what someone who is not even a citizen of this country and brings the Ebola virus to this country. And what is going to happen? Either way, if he is cured, it's going to reinforce the idea of people who have Ebola in West Africa or anywhere that they need to come to America for treatment. That's what everyone is concerned about. That's what Dr. Gil Mobley was concerned about when he demonstrated at the airport talking about how Josh Earnest was lying to the people, how the CDC was lying to people that they were not doing anything to interdict traffic coming in through the airports or across our borders, because we can't close our borders. That is the most important thing. Whether we have an Ebola pandemic or not, we must keep the borders open, because that's how people like Judge Jenkins and the Democrats are going to get elected. We're going to go out with a look at the TSA's contradictions and how it's handling Ebola. And then stay with us, because we're going to talk about a billion-dollar GMO corn lawsuit and how even Ben Bernanke can't refinance his home. Stay with us.
Because it's such a deadly disease, people are scared. And it's normal to be scared. In fact, for the healthcare workers who are caring for people with Ebola, we want them to be scared. We want them to have a healthy respect of the risk of any lapse in infection control procedure. We want them to channel that fear into being incredibly meticulous about infection control.
That was the head of the CDC driving home the fact that meticulous efforts should be made to control the spread of Ebola. Now, of course, it seems that a likely scenario would be shutting down any air travel from the Ebola zone. In fact, the study that was published just last month in a scientific journal predicted that the virus would reach the U.S. by the end of September. The scientists warned that the only way to prevent Ebola from spreading internationally would be to shut down air travel and impose a quarantine. But in a world where 2 plus 2 equals 5, the CDC says that shutting down any air travel is only going to make things worse. Now, last month, just 2 weeks before this first confirmed case of Ebola hit the United States, Robert David Steele came on the Alex Jones Show and warned that a staged Ebola false flag terror attack was on the horizon.
They will have another false flag. In fact, the false flag I'm hearing about is a simulated Ebola attack in which they actually use biochemical weapons that dissipate, but then they pretend that it's Ebola and that it has been brought here by Saudi martyrs. Okay, so no, we have not reached the end of the false flag line.
Now, Steele elaborates at his website, if the Ebola virus hits in the USA, it will be either a false flag biochemical stand-in, volunteers who are already in the USA will be infected by Saudi clinicians, or white virgins who are not known by the USA to be associated in any way with terrorism will be infected in Europe. Now, U.S. intelligence sources are reporting that ISIS militants are planning to pose as refugees in order to plant operatives in Europe. And the U.S. sources say that the militant organization is afraid of using aircraft due to strict security rules, so they'll use land as an alternative. The FBI admits that another attack on the U.S. is imminent, and they say the Khorasan group could still be working on a plan to attack the U.S. or its allies, and they are looking to do it very, very soon. And a Southern Texas Border Patrol agent has confirmed to CBS affiliate Valley Central News that immigrants from Ebola-stricken nations have been apprehended trying to illegally enter the country via the wide-open border.
Not too long ago, we did catch some people, I believe, from Liberia. Some of our agents did contract scabies and some of the other things that the illegal aliens had. Luckily, it's not something that's deadly like Ebola.
And, of course, the Border Patrol agents are only speaking of those that they have actually caught trying to enter the country illegally. Who knows how many people will be able to enter the country and won't get caught. But don't worry about the wide open border. Don't even think about shutting down any air travel from Ebola-stricken nations. No, the CDC only wants healthcare workers who are already dealing with Ebola patients to use meticulous efforts to make sure that this disease is not spread. What about the TSA? Now, we've already spoken a lot about how Ebola has been extensively studied for its use as a bioweapon. Shouldn't the TSA be doing its job and protecting the nation from a potential terror attack?
I expected that they were going to take my temperature. They were going to ask me lots of questions, but they didn't. I said, I'm a journalist. I've come back from Liberia. I was covering Ebola. He started to hand my passport back and say, welcome home. But instead he said, oh, wait a second. I got an email about passengers like you. Hold on a second. And he went and conferred with someone and he didn't know. And they conferred with someone else. And in the end, he said, you need to watch yourself for signs of Ebola. And I said, well, what am I watching for? And he couldn't tell me.
Meanwhile, we have the scientists who first discovered Ebola warning of an apocalyptic-type scenario if this mutates. And then we've got the federal government on the other side refusing to shut down any air travel from the Ebola-stricken nations, refusing to even implement a quarantine. So, of course, the Ebola false flag is going to roll out as predicted.
DNA Force.
When cells become toxic, they die early and aging sets in.
DNA Force.
No one has put together a formula that focuses directly on brain health, nerve growth factors, and optimizing your cellular energy at the same time. Just one of the key compounds, BioPQQ, is backed by major clinical studies.
DNA Force.
We now have the synergistic solution. Secure your DNA Force today at InfoWarsLife.com or call toll free 888-253-3139.
DNA Force.
The globalist social engineers are not just targeting us with propaganda. They are manipulating our genetics. We are being targeted at every level by estrogen mimickers that lower our testosterone and other hormones and natural compounds that the body needs. After consulting top doctors, nutritionists, pharmacists, and others, we have developed what I believe is the ultimate non-GMO organic super male vitality formula sourced from powerful organic herbs and then concentrated for maximum potency. Super Male Vitality was developed to activate your body's own natural processes instead of using synthetic chemicals. Super Male Vitality by InfoWars Life is so powerful that I only take half the recommended dose. For a limited time, we are offering 15% off Super Male Vitality at InfoWarsLife.com to introduce you to this powerful supplement. Visit InfoWarsLife.com today to secure your Super Male Vitality. InfoWarsLife.com.
And yet another example of how out of control the war on drugs has become and how dangerous it has become not only to our liberties but to our lives. We have Georgia drug warriors just outside of Atlanta raiding someone who is growing okra in his own yard. Yes, this is someone, a retired man, growing okra in Georgia. And he says, first thing he wakes up and hears a helicopter. He said he was scared actually at first because he didn't know what was happening. A chopper was setting very low. Then deputies show up with canines. And he said they were strapped to the gill, evidently talking about how they were fully in SWAT uniform. And their reply is, well, it looks very much like cannabis. You know, we can't really tell the difference between okra and cannabis. We're still trying to identify it. It looks very similar to a cannabis plant. But as the fellow thought about it more, he thought, you know, anything could have happened. And we have seen over and over again, poor people, rich people, white people, black people, rural, urban, inner city, people dying everywhere because of no-knock raids. And if they don't kill you when you defend your house thinking that you're being invaded, and if you kill one of them trying to defend yourself, you will find yourself like this man in Texas fighting for his life in court because he shot a sheriff's deputy in a no-knock raid. Now, maybe you should just fire warning shots. Well, even firing warning shots can get you in a lot of trouble.
I'm an avid supporter of the Second Amendment as well as self-defense rights. Somebody comes at you, you have to defend yourself. I understand that, of course. So a guy comes into your home, he comes into your business, he threatens your family, he threatens you personally. What are you going to do in that situation? Well, you may show mercy to the person. You may fire a warning shot. But just because you show mercy to the attacker, don't expect any mercy from the court system. Such is the case of a Florida father who is facing 20 years in prison for firing a warning shot against a man who is endangering his teenage daughter. The jury found the father guilty of child endangerment as well as other charges. No one was hurt by the round. Another Florida shooting that was overshadowed by the Trayvon Martin trial was that of Marissa Alexander. After being chased throughout her home by her abusive husband, Marissa fired a shot at her husband to scare him away.
I believe when he threatened to kill me, that's what he was going to do. That's exactly what he intended to do. And had I not discharged my weapon at that point, I would not be here.
But the right to self-defense doesn't extend to excessive force. Yes, you can defend yourself from somebody who's an immediate threat to you, but after that threat has passed, you can no longer assault that individual.
Ursland is accused of shooting and killing 16-year-old Antoine Parker. Surveillance video shows Parker and a friend trying to rob the Reliance Pharmacy in South Oklahoma City last May. It also shows Ursland fighting back by shooting Parker once initially and then coming back and shooting Parker five more times.
To bring you the broader spectrum of this clip, The pharmacist produces his own firearm and shoots back at the guys. He hits one of them in the face, knocking him to the ground. No issue there. The pharmacist comes back into the pharmacy. He sees the guy laying on the ground and then shoots him five additional times. Keeping in mind, this is the guy on the ground with a bullet in his face. You can't shoot somebody until they're dead. You can only shoot them until the point where they're no longer a threat. In closing, you do have a Second Amendment right, but be careful how you use it. Because whether it's shooting somebody until they're dead, or if you take the Joe Biden approach and issue a few warning shots, either one of these tactics could end up with you in a prison cell. You can find more reports at InfoWars.com.
If you want to protect yourself, get a double-barrel shotgun. And I promise you, as I told my wife, we live in an area that's wooded and somewhat secluded. I said, Jill, if there's ever a problem, just walk out on the balcony here or walk out, put that double-barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
A billion-dollar lawsuit filed today shed some light on GMO. Even China doesn't want it in their country. Even China is banning it. And that's caused them, out of uncertainty, to essentially ban all U.S. corn. Courthouse News Service reports that seed giant Syngenta faces billion-dollar class actions in three states, claiming that China is restricting U.S. corn shipments because Syngenta released a genetically altered variety before the crop was approved for export to China. Syngenta, quote, destroyed the export of U.S. corn to China and caused depressed prices for all domestic corn. Well, while China may have embargoed all U.S. corn, essentially government regulators are starting to embargo mortgages. Even Ben Bernanke can't refinance his mortgage. Now, consider Ben Bernanke's situation. He's making about $250,000 per speech, doing quite a few speeches. He's got a multi-million dollar book contract in the works, and he's only trying to finance an $839,000 home. So his ratio is probably less than 0.4 of the price of his income to the price of the home that he's getting. Compared to a typical American, the median price of a home in the United States is $189,000. The median U.S. income is $52,000. So that means that you're looking at about 3.5 times what you're making in a house for somebody else, whereas Bernanke is looking at something that's maybe a third of his income, and even he can't get a refinance. This was something that came out at a mortgage conference on Thursday. He surprised everybody. It's been reported on by a lot of different outlets, New York Times, Bloomberg. He said, just between us, and he was on stage in Chicago on Thursday, he said, I recently tried to refinance my mortgage, and I was unsuccessful in doing so. It's not that he can't qualify. It's the banking regulations. And if you look at this article from Bloomberg, look at this chart where it shows that essentially total mortgage credit has flatlined and it has not recovered since 2008. Now, one of the reasons that this is happening, of course, is the Dodd-Frank bill, which essentially was nothing but a golden parachute for those two criminals to retire on. They set up the Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act of 2010. And if you believe that that's really protecting consumers, you're not paying attention. What it's doing is restricting the market. And as they point out in Bloomberg, they say the risk pendulum has clearly swung too far from reckless to fraidy cat. The reality is that lenders should be the ones making the decisions and risking their own money. We have this kind of Byzantine regulation shutting down credit because we have allowed the big banks to socialize their losses. The big banks, or any lenders for that matter, should be able to determine who they want to lend money to. They should be able to set the parameters of the risk, and then they should get the rewards or suffer the consequences. That's what you do in a free market. That's what we should be doing here. Stay with us. When we come back, we're going to take a look at Hong Kong and at ISIL. We'll be right back.
I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2. Take advantage of this unprecedented 30% off super detox special at InfoWarsLife.com.
Introducing the first proprietary oxygen-based intestinal cleanser, OxyPowder. backed by FDA-approved phase 1, 2, and 3 clinical trials. All the toxins from the air, the food, the water, ultimately ends up in the gut or affects the gut. Take your health into your own hands and start cleansing your body today with Oxy Powder. Secure your Oxy Powder today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
Welcome back. Now, another international news we learn on InfoWars.com. Hong Kong is striking back. West attempts to spin the growing anti-Occupy movement. Now, they point out and document very well in this article how the United States is fostering revolution there, just as they have throughout the Arab Spring. But we should bear in mind that whenever the government gets involved in funding somebody against the Chinese, against the Russians, or against any other group, that doesn't necessarily mean that that movement has been taken over by the American government or is simply a tool. If we were to look at it that way, let's think about the American Revolution. Was that simply a fight between the British Empire and the French Empire? Of course it was at one level. And of course we would not have won that fight without the assistance of the French. But that doesn't mean that there weren't some real serious issues about liberty at stake. And we need to not make that same mistake when we look at other countries. One of the things that's very well documented in here, of course, is how Vietnam was used as a domino against China. That's how they sold it to the American public. That's how the military-industrial complex sold it. And, of course, in The Fog of War, Robert McNamara recounted how decades later, when he went to Vietnam, the fellow who had fought against him pounded the table and said, "What were you thinking with this idiotic domino theory? We fought the Chinese for over 1,000 years for our independence. We weren't going to become a subordinate of China." And they are still fighting China today. You still see that they're not allied. We need to understand that so we don't get drawn into wars in Syria. And we need to understand that so that we don't throw under the bus every independence movement that we see. Now, speaking of involvement in Syria, we learned over the weekend that ISIS ammunition is shown to have origins in the United States and China. The New York Times reports it suggests that ammunition transferred into Syria and Iraq to help stabilize governments has instead passed from the governments to the jihadists. Well, it doesn't suggest that. They're the ones suggesting that's the case. We would say it's been much more directly passed in. They say rifle cartridges from the United States, the samples show, have played a significant role. Remember that it wasn't that long ago that InfoWars reported, it was actually August 13, 2013, that we reported that there were 600,000 AK-47 cartridges purchased by the U.S. Army. At the time, everyone was asking where these were going because the U.S. Army does not use AK-47s. So why are they purchasing that kind of ammunition in that kind of quantity? We have shown over and over again the connections between the U.S. government and Syrian rebels who are now called ISIS or ISIL or whatever. They are surrogates being armed, trained, equipped, and protected by the U.S. government. And if you want to know how this looks, just look at the pictures in this article from InfoWars, U.S. alliance with FSA and ISIL in just 6 photographs. I'm not going to run down through those photographs. You can go to the website and take a look at them, but it shows ample connection between one individual meeting with senators, meeting with the CIA, meeting with the rebels, just as we've seen Senator McCain do the same thing. It's an open secret. Everybody knows that we were going to invade a year ago to be Al-Qaeda's Air Force. Nothing has changed. And all of these actions that are happening now with ISIS, they've stood down just like they have stood down for the Ebola pandemic until it reaches a level that they want to use it to escalate into something else, into martial law at home with the Ebola pandemic, or into another war to take down the Syrian government. That's what's been in their sights for many, many years. And we've told you that from the very beginning. Well, that's it for our news tonight. Please consider becoming a Prison Planet TV subscriber if you're watching on YouTube. Please subscribe on YouTube. But you can help to support the operation with your paid subscription to Prison Planet TV. One subscription allows you to share it with up to 11 other people. And then you can all watch at the same time, as well as sharing Alex Jones's documentaries. Join us again tomorrow at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern.
City of Austin tap water versus filtered City of Austin tap water. Okay. I can like taste dirt in it.
God knows what's in this.
This has an aftertaste. Tastes like Austin water.
Yeah, it does. Ugh.
These people just sampled City of Austin tap water straight from the faucet. Next, we had them try a sample of tap water filtered through the ProPure G2.0 filtration system.
High quality H2O.
That one is better.
Tastes like nothing.
Yep, I know what good water tastes like. It's good water.
Most tap water contains added substances like fluoride, chlorine, Monsanto's deadly pesticide, glyphosate, and many others. Studies prove that these substances are linked to an assortment of major health issues, including tooth decay, lowered IQ, and even cancer.
It tastes like you're drinking out of the lake when you're drinking tap water.
Yeah, it has that processed flavor to it.
The ProPure G2.0 filtration system removes these deadly substances and many more, leaving only fresh-tasting, deliciously clean water.
Okay, this is very tasty.
It's good water.
Refreshing.
It's good.
Go to InfoWarsStore.com today. Use promo code WATER and save 10% off your ProPure purchase. Again, that's InfoWarsStore.com or call 1-888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.